Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 359, titled Mind Jihad, Part 7, Blood on the Crescent Moon. This is being recorded on May 12th of 2002. The title, by the way, of course, the crescent moon is part of the symbol of Islam. This is a continuing discussion of September 11th and Islamofascism, not to be misunderstood as confusing Islam with fascism or characterizing Islam as fascist. I've made that clarification before. If many of the references that I make during this program seem obscure or ridiculous, I can appreciate that. Please use the detailed annotated program descriptions for the other broadcasts I've recorded. The programs for September 11th have been reformatted. Also, I will give three web addresses or linked web addresses that have the information available either for order and or on real audio. Now, long story made short. Part 1, from the Philadelphia Inquirer, January 5th, 1997, an article by David Lee Preston about Nazi banker François Janoux. It's called Hitler's Swiss Connection, and this is available on an AOL website. The full URL will be on the Spitfire website in the For the Record section at spitfirelist.com. Now, again, long story made short. The reference here is to François Janoux, the heir to the literary works of Adolf Hitler, or the literary works of Adolf Hitler, Martin Bormann, and Joseph Goebbels. In the preface to the Bormann document, Hitler's Table Talk, Janoux wrote that Hitler wanted the people of the Third World to carry on the work of the Thousand-Year Reich. Now, long story made short, part two, reviewing from For the Record 355. This article is called The Swastika and the Crescent, authored by Martin A. Lee, the author of the vitally important recent book The Beast Reawakens that I've used many times in the past. This article was published in the Spring 2002 Intelligence Report of the Southern Poverty Law Center at splcenter.org, full URL on the Spitfire website. The Swastika and the Crescent begins. As Germany's defeat loomed during the final months of World War II, Adolf Hitler increasingly lapsed into delusional fits of fantasy. Former Nazi defense minister and architect Albert Speer, in his prison writings, recounts an episode in which a maniacal Hitler, quote, pictured for himself and for us the destruction of New York in a hurricane of fire, unquote. The Nazi Führer described skyscrapers turning into, quote, gigantic burning torches collapsing one upon another, the glow of the exploding city illuminating the dark sky, unquote. An approximation of Hitler's hellish vision came true on September 11th, when terrorists destroyed the Twin Towers in New York City, killing nearly 3,000 people. Long story made short, part 3, from an article that appeared in the Washington Post on Monday, April 29th of 2002. This article is titled Unlikely Allies Bound by a Common Hatred, subtitled Neo-Nazis Find They Share Views of Militant Muslim Groups on U.S. and Israel. It's dateline Bern, Switzerland. It's by Peter Finn, F-I-N-N, and skipping down in the article, of Islamic fundamentalist and German-slash-Swiss neo-Nazi Ahmed Huber, about whom we've spoken many times in the past, a member of the board of directors of Al-Taqwa, we read the following. Skipping down. By Huber's account, a group of aging SS officers and members of Hitler's personal guard who meet every few weeks in the German state of Bavaria for beer and conversation recently bestowed the title Honorary Prussian on bin Laden. They praised his valiant fight, unquote, against the United States, Huber said. One of the members called Huber after the meeting to tell him that henceforth they had decided to call the Al-Qaeda leader Herr von Laden, Huber said. And we'll have more about Ahmed Huber later in the program. Perhaps a harbinger of things to come, and for those who would be complacent or for those who would allow the war on terror, which I believe to be in the most literal sense of the word, an extension of World War II. This isn't like World War II. This is an extension of World War II. And upon the successful resolution of this struggle in the favor of the U.S. and its allies, the future of civilization and the American way of life will continue. And a great many civilizations, which may not think that they're dependent on the American way of life. Following article from the Financial Times of Wednesday, May 8th of 2002, an article by Kathy Newman of the Financial Times headlined, Bin Laden supporters still funding Al-Qaeda, unquote. And this is a chilling article about intelligence reports that not only are Al-Qaeda funding conduits receiving new financing, but that something really big and bad, perhaps as big or worse than September 11th, may be in the offing. The Al-Qaeda terrorist network has been deluged with funds from Osama bin Laden's Saudi supporters since the start of the Middle East crisis, a British intelligence dossier has revealed. Note that this states that Osama bin Laden's Saudi supporters have been deluging Al-Qaeda terrorist funding conduits with money. Continuing. Intelligence chiefs have also warned the government that Mr. bin Laden could be plotting another terrorist atrocity on the scale of the September 11th attack on the World Trade Center. One senior minister said he was shocked by the scale of the threat outlined in the, quote, chilling, unquote, intelligence briefing presented to the government recently. It suggested the September 11th atrocities could be repeated at any time. Ministers are concerned that although the U.S. and the U.K. remain officially on high alert for further terrorist attacks, the public has become complacent about the risk. The minister said, quote, Bin Laden might be cornered in a cave, but that won't necessarily prevent Al-Qaeda from carrying out further attacks. We were pretty shocked at what we heard. Quote, The American attacks were 5 years in the planning. Who knows what could also be in the pipeline, unquote. Despite the U.S.-led war in Afghanistan, the Al-Qaeda network has been regrouping. There have been a series of arrests and terrorist funds have been targeted around the world, but the network has been kept afloat by new money and a stream of fresh recruits. And a note where much of the new money is coming from, that is coming from Saudi Arabia. And note that the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Crown Prince Abdullah, recently basically read the riot act to Crown Prince George Walker bin Talal Abdul Aziz, the colonial magistrate of the Saudi States of America, as it's rapidly becoming. Now, note, in connection with the appropriation of Al-Taqwa networks, note in connection in particular with the March 20th raids that were part of Operation Green Quest, and note the powerful Islamist slash fascist slash GOP ethnic outreach organization connections that we spoke about at length and for the record 356 and 357. We're going to take a look now at an article that came out this past week in Le Monde. That is a French publication. The title in French is Ahmed Huber, un administrateur aux sympathies islamistes et Nazi. This is from May 3rd of 2002. That translates Ahmed Huber, an administrator with Islamist and Nazi sympathies. This also is datelined Bern, Switzerland, and skipping down, we read a chilling discussion of Ahmed Huber and a threat that Ahmed Huber has made, a very direct threat against the United States. And I think the operant term here, and this is not to be misunderstood as humor, is hubris. This article translates the last paragraph. Ahmed Huber is not concerned for the continuation of the investigation led by the Swiss authorities. That, by the way, parenthetically, is of Al-Taqwa. With the federal apparat, they are good people, he says. Ahmed Huber is betting on a favorable outcome to the investigation, swearing that no link can be established between Al-Taqwa and the terrorist organizations. Pleased with the situation, Ahmed Huber discourses on the good and the bad Jews, the necessary, unquote, disappearance of the State of Israel, and ensures that his ideas have partisans in all spheres of Swiss society. Quote, listen to this quote. It's a very direct threat against the United States. Bush and his Zionist advisors made a serious error in attacking Arab finances connected to the great families of Saudi Arabia, of Jordan, of Morocco, and the Gulf Emirates. They have thus repudiated their proper allies. One could really call this an elephant in a China store, unquote. And that is a fairly direct threat against the United States, and I think one can read between the lines, and not very far between the lines, of a statement of Ahmed Huber basically castigating and warning the United States of reprisals for the shutting down of Al-Taqwa, and note again that Saudi financial conduits are pouring money into Al-Qaeda, and there are fresh recruits. We're going to be coming back to that particular article. Now, from another article in Le Monde from the same day, May 3rd of 2002, there will be the web addresses for both articles, the URLs, in the For the Record section of this description on the Spitfire website. Now, this particular article is titled in French, Al-Taqwa. Le Banque Islamique qui refuse de livrer ses secrets. In English, this translates Al-Taqwa, the Islamic bank which refuses to deliver its secrets, or give up its secrets would be another way of translating this. Now, what we're going to talk about here are is an allegation also by Ahmed Huber that all of the administrators of Al-Taqwa Management, or NADA Management as it was renamed, are connected to the Muslim Brotherhood. That is an Islamo-fascist organization that we've spoken about many times in the past. We went into the Muslim Brotherhood in particular at great length in For the Record 343. Skipping down in this article, we read of Tariq Ramadan, the son of Saeed Ramadan, in turn the son-in-law of Hassan al-Banna, the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood. We read, again this is quoting Ahmed Huber, Tariq Ramadan always denied any connection with radical movements, such as the Muslim Brotherhood, to which all the Al-Taqwa management administrators belong, according to Ahmed Huber. And skipping down, of Youssef Nada himself, according to Egyptian intelligence, a former operative of Third Reich intelligence in World War II, and we probably should use the word former in quotes, skipping down and again alluding to Youssef Nada and quoting Ahmed Huber, one of his close associates and a director himself of Al-Taqwa, Youssef Nada himself is a businessman equipped with an impressive address book. Quote, he knows the Sultan of Brunei, the emirs of the Persian Gulf, the royal family of Saudi Arabia, Saddam Hussein, the Iranians, and Muammar Gaddafi, enumerates Ahmed Huber, Al-Taqwa Management member. I would note here, according to Ahmed Huber, and the evidence is fairly direct in this regard, that there are operational links and connections between not only elements of the Islamic world that are Sunni and Shiite, but also elements of the Arabic world that are basically secular Arabo-fascists, such as Saddam Hussein, who has a direct Third Reich heritage himself, but his regime is basically secular, rather like the Ba'ath Party of Syria. But now there are strong connections between the secular Arabo-fascists and the Islamo-fascists. Again, this article from Le Monde of May 3rd of 2002. Bearing in mind a number of things, and in particular, bear in mind the economic aspects of the September 11th attacks, and bear in mind the analysis that was set forth in, For the Record, 344 through 356, Pearl Harbor meets the Reichstag fire. There is a German card game called Scat. It's basically sort of a German version, a three-way version of Bridge. It's a very instructive game, and if one wants to come to understand the German/Nazi mentality that I believe is helping to direct this particular, or orchestrate this series of events, one should read Machiavelli and one should play Scat. My belief is that if the United States is not destroyed through direct military/terrorist means, we may be destroyed economically if we do not accomplish the necessary military buildup, which we must do, fund our military resources intelligently, i.e. no stupid missile shield, and also we must cancel the Bush tax cuts, which are already adding to an unsustainable American current accounts deficit, which will destroy the United States economically. Parenthetically, I would note in the context of the German card game Scat, and of Machiavelli, and of Friedrich von Liszt, about whom we've spoken in the past, that Grover Norquist, the point man for the Islamo-fascist-slash-Islamist connections to the Republican Party, is also one of the primary Republican exponents of, quote, tax reform, i.e., cutting taxes and adding to the current accounts deficit. Norquist's dual function as point man for the Islamists and major tax cutter slash current accounts deficit advocate is to be noted in this context. Very, very important article has appeared in Salon. That's an online publication. This article has been authored by the remarkable Lucy Komiser. I'm not sure how her last name is pronounced, capital K-O-M-I-S-A-R. She's written in a number of other publications that we've accessed about Altaqua and the Clearstream Network. She's writing a book about the use of offshore tax havens by terrorists, criminals, etc. And she has written some very, very good work about Altaqua. This article from Salon, and this is in the Salon.com technology section, full URL in the annotated description on the Spitfire website. The website, by the way, is www.salon.com. The article from Salon of March 15th of 2002, Shareholders in the Bank of Terror. It's by Lucy Komiser, subtitled, A Previously Unpublished List Reveals the Backers of a Bank that the U.S. says helped fund Al-Qaeda, including prominent members of the Arab world. This article discusses in detail a number of very, very important things. It discusses a list of the shareholders in Altaqua as of December 1999. This was confirmed by Youssef Nader himself. This may very well have been investigated by the FBI and perhaps covered up to a certain extent. Certainly, the Italian Anti-Terrorist Intelligence Service, DIGOS, the Division of General Intelligence and Special Operations, was investigating Altaqua, asked for the assistance of the Swiss government, and basically they were told to go piss up a rope by the Swiss government, in effect. As we shall see, the person who allegedly instructed DIGOS thusly, Carla Del Ponte, the former Swiss federal prosecutor. Carla Del Ponte is a former law partner of Pier Felice Barchi, who is the attorney for Youssef Nader and a primary operative of the Banco del Gottardo. And I want to correct a statement that I made in For the Record 354. It was not Magdalena Kopp, who in turn is involved with the Shikarki family, directors of SICO, the European Bin Laden subsidiary, but it is Carla Del Ponte who is in charge of the UN prosecution of Slobodan Milosevic for war crimes in light of the Al-Qaeda links to some of the Islamo-fascist elements in Bosnia and in Kosovo. That is a very, very interesting question indeed. Magdalena Kopp, her husband Hans, associated with the Shikarkis, and Carla Del Ponte were all entangled in the Shikarki AG affair that I spoke about in For the Record, or in RFA 38. But it was Carla Del Ponte, not Magdalena Kopp, who is in charge of the prosecution of Slobodan Milosevic. This is a very important article, again, Salon of March 15th of 2002, Shareholders in the Bank of Terror by Lucy Komiser, available at www.salon.com. It reads in part, according to an unpublished list obtained by Salon, the Altaqua Bank, part of a network of financial companies named by the Bush administration as a major source and distributor of funds for Osama bin Laden's terrorist operations, has shareholders that include prominent Arab figures from numerous countries in the Middle East. Among the shareholders are the Grand Mufti of the United Arab Emirates and prominent families in the United Arab Emirates and Kuwait. Two sisters of Osama bin Laden are also on the list, undermining the bin Laden family's claim that it separated itself from his terrorist pursuits after he was expelled from Saudi Arabia in 1994. Skipping down. The FBI may have known who the shareholders were for as long as 4 years. There is also evidence that Swiss authorities have since the mid-1990s refused to cooperate with international intelligence inquiries into the bank's activities. Swiss officials have said they were aware of reports that Al-Taqwa was connected to terrorist groups, but there was never sufficient evidence to merit a search warrant. The names appear on an unpublished shareholders register of Bank Al-Taqwa, unquote, that reflects holdings as of December of 1999. Bank Al-Taqwa is based in the Bahamas. The Al-Taqwa Group, which changed its name to Nada Management Organization a year ago, after authorities began investigation into its dealings, is headquartered in Lugano, Switzerland. In November, the U.S. named the Al-Taqwa network a funnel for bin Laden's Al-Qaeda financial network. Representatives of the bank have denied any involvement in terrorist activities. By the way, I would note that two Sundays ago, Heinrich Thyssen Bornemisza, 81 years old, and the head of one of the most important branches of the Thyssen family and of the Bormann organization, and based in Lugano, Switzerland, the Thyssens, Bormann, and the Bush family, old partners, he died at the age of 81. Maybe it was just natural, but I wondered whether perhaps his death, certainly he was an old man, but others have lived to be much older. Strom Thurmond is almost 20 years older, and he's a seated United States senator. I wonder about that death. It may have been natural, but I wonder whether perhaps younger members of the Bormann organization have decided to dispatch the old guard. Perhaps they're becoming a little too visible. I wonder whether perhaps some of the Islamo-fascists have decided to get rid of some of the old guard, perhaps because, again, they are too visible, or who knows, perhaps an allied assassin or two has finally begun to catch up with some of the Bormann people. Again, that's conjecture, but one wonders whether perhaps some of the old guard is being disposed of in one way or another. And who knows whether the shot came from the front or the back, figuratively speaking. Continuing, bear in mind that Thyssen Bornemisza and his family have long been based in Lugano, Switzerland. That is where Al-Taqwa is based. That is where Banco del Gotardo is based. It is a very important base, so to speak. Al-Qaeda, by the way, being translated as the base. Continuing with this article from Salon.com. Speaking of this list, the list has been confirmed as authentic by both U.S. officials and Al-Taqwa. Michelle Davis, spokeswoman for the Treasury Department, was shown the documents on March 13th and acknowledged, quote, "We have the list. We are doing the same as you, trying to find out who these people are," unquote. There are 745 names on the 18-page register. Al-Taqwa President Youssef Mustafa Nada, one of several top bank officials who was put on the U.S. supporters of terrorism list in November, also confirmed the veracity of the list. "It's genuine," he said in a phone interview. "You can ask Mr. Nicotti, the Swiss Deputy Attorney General. He investigated all these things 4 months ago. The FBI knows since 1997. I talked to them," unquote. And note some of the people on the list. Included on the list are Youssef Abdullah Al-Qaradawi, the Grand Mufti of the United Arab Emirates, and five members of his family, Mariam al-Sheikh A. bin Aziz al-Mubarak, a branch of the Kuwaiti royal family, and members of the prominent Khalifa family of the United Arab Emirates. Sisters Huta and Iman bin Laden, who live in Saudi Arabia, and Hassan el-Banna, a leader of the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood, are also listed. By the way, this is E-L hyphen, capital B-A-N-N-A. I don't know if this is Hassan al-Banna, who was born in 1907. He would have been 81 when Al-Taqwa was founded, or whether this is a son or daughter. Perhaps someone who can help me with the Arabic translation can clarify this. It would not surprise me, in light of the heritage of Al-Taqwa, if this was the old boy himself, Hassan al-Banna, the head of, the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood, or whether this is an offshoot, a son or a daughter. Skipping down. In October, Swiss Attorney General Valentin Rossbacher said he'd received names from the FBI, and they were being checked out, but said no evidence of any wrongdoing had been found. He added, quote, "It's difficult for us to get information," unquote. Swiss banks are protected by stringent secrecy laws, and the hawala system makes ascertaining the exact nature of Altaqua's transactions even more difficult. One American law enforcement official who was shown the list recognized names of members of the militant Palestinian organization Hamas, which is on the State Department's list of terrorist organizations among the shareholders. Additional publicly accessible records show that some of the bank's shareholders are connected to organizations Western intelligence officials link to Al-Qaeda. Altaqua has been viewed with suspicion by Western intelligence sources for years. In the mid-1990s, the Italian anti-terrorist agency DIGOS, D-I-G-O-S, the Division of General Intelligence and Special Operations, concerned about radical Islamic activity at the Islamic Cultural Institution of Milan, found links to Altaqua. In 1995, according to journalists Paolo Fusi and Martin Stoll in the Swiss newsweekly Facts, DIGOS told Swiss federal prosecutor Carla Del Ponte, quote, "The Nahda group comprises the most important financial structure of the Muslim Brotherhood and Islamic terrorist organizations," unquote. The Newsweekly said the agency later reported that Swiss officials appeared loath to look into Nahda's operations. We will talk about this reluctance and Carla Del Ponte's possible reasons for this alleged reluctance. However, let me note again, I've spoken about many institutions and individuals who might appear strange. There are at least four elements of interlocking directorate between Altaqua and the Bush administration and the Republican Party. I've discussed all of this in past broadcasts, and there are detailed annotated descriptions of all of the programs available on September 11th, as well as descriptions of other programs that I've recorded in the past. Access the website www.spitfirelist.com. Spitfire List is one word, SPITFIRELIST.com. It is equipped with real audio on the For the Record section. You can hear the two latest half-hour segments that are coming out, detailed annotated descriptions of the broadcast, now reformatted for easier reading, are available in that section of the Spitfire website. There are also links to two URLs being maintained by sister station WFMU-FM in Jersey City, New Jersey, that have virtually the entire For the Record available for either streaming and or for download only on Real Audio, WFMU.org/Dave Emery, and a longer URL linked to the For the Record section of the Spitfire website. Reach him by mail at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. Email mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. That concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 359, Mein Jihad Part 7, Blood on the Crescent Moon, being recorded on May 12th of 2002. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.